the Public News Service Daily Newscast, March the 30th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Workers on the front line say it's important for their colleagues in essential services to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Eric Taganoff explains.
Shanae Cole works with the Everett School District and was able to get vaccinated through her union, Public School Employees of Washington, SEIU 1948. She says the process was quick and easy, and she decided to volunteer the day she was vaccinated, helping about 650 people in the school district get the Johnson & Johnson shot. Cole encourages folks to get inoculated.
Maybe it's not just for you personally. It's for our community at large. It's to allow our kids to go back into school. It's to allow people to have their jobs again. It's so much bigger than just one person at a time.
The state is scheduled to enter the next phase of vaccine eligibility on Wednesday, lowering the age to people 60 and older. High-risk workers, such as first responders and folks who work in congregate care facilities and grocery stores, already are eligible.
Harris says she's spoken to colleagues who are skeptical about the vaccine and encourages them to do research into its safety. Nearly 30% of Washingtonians have received at least one shot of the vaccine, according to the New York Times. The first witnesses have testified in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged with killing George Floyd. NBC News reports a 911 dispatcher testified officers pinned down Floyd for so long she thought her video feed had frozen. Jay Yates is with Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for Jamar.
There's not going to be any placating us with half measures or with meaningless promises of name changes and other useless reforms.
She says they'll keep holding demonstrations and pursuing other avenues in hopes of getting a Minneapolis police department overseen by a citizen council. Down in New York, where a new report says standardizing property tax assessment for renewable energy projects would create tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in revenue.
The report was released by the Alliance for Clean Energy New York and the New York Solar Energy Industry Association, or NYSEA. It says tax standardization proposed in the state budget would increase local tax revenue by speeding up the process of getting renewable energy projects to construction. NYSEA Executive Director Shyam Mehta says that would bring an increase of up to $348 million from payments in lieu of taxes to local governments across the state over the lifetimes of the projects.
In addition to that, significant secondary benefits from increases in revenue from job creation.
I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
This is PNS. Talks continue in Washington on another stimulus-style package to help the U.S. recover from the pandemic. This plan would focus on infrastructure, but those advocating for working families hope it also covers paid leave.
A coalition says it's not just crumbling roads and bridges that need a federal boost and the jobs that come with it. Organizers say it's time for the U.S. to invest in the nation's care infrastructure by adopting a permanent paid family leave policy. Don Hucklebridge of the Paid Leave for All campaign says the nation can't walk away from the crisis without one.
You know, when we talk about essential workers and frontline workers and the sacrifices that families and caregivers have made, this is how we honor that, is by passing a permanent law to protect them.
While a temporary paid leave policy was included in a previous stimulus bill, advocates say working families will struggle in the long term. They say that's because fewer than 10 states require it. Opponents of the idea say many employers have their own policy and that a requirement could harm small business owners. I'm Mike Moen.
And after last week's mass shooting in Boulder, advocates for gun safety are calling on both state and federal lawmakers to take meaningful action to curb the nation's gun violence epidemic.
The shooter killed 10 people at a King Soopers grocery store with a pistol that resembled an AR-15 rifle on the heels of a mass shooting in Georgia that killed 8 people, 6 of them Asian women. Abby Winter with Colorado Moms Demand Action notes that while Colorado has passed some common sense gun laws in recent years, including background checks and a red flag law, it's been 25 years since the federal government has taken action on gun safety.
We're a contiguous country, and we're only as safe as our closest state and how strong their gun laws are. We need federal action because we see it as a nationwide public health issue.
She urges the U.S. Senate to act on the legislation the House passed this month to strengthen background checks and close important loopholes. I'm Lily Bolke.
Finally, our Roz Brown tells us New Mexico's 2021 legislative session officially ended 10 days ago, but within hours, the governor had called a special session.
When running for office, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said she would support cannabis legalization. Emily Kaltenbach heads the Drug Policy Alliance for New Mexico, advocating for alternatives to the war on drugs. She says polls have shown New Mexico residents favor such legislation, but state lawmakers have not been on board.
Now I think that lawmakers' opinions are more aligned with the public's opinion on this. I had always said that 2021 would be the year, and I hope that I'm right.
The governor's office has estimated that a legalized marijuana marketplace could create 11,000 jobs in New Mexico. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, and we're always online at publicnewsservice.org.